Now, Act Two of the story, Anna Nordquist.
When I left Anna at the hotel, I went over to see Ned Burke. His office was in the front part of the jail where they were keeping Pete Kilgren. Ned had only been marshal for a few months, but he'd had a couple of years deputy experience, so he knew the job. And he was sort of a man that usually made a good marshal, too. He's quiet, not looking for trouble, but able to take care of it when the time came.
I sure felt terrible, Britt, when she came in here and told me who she was and what she wanted.
Yeah.
I let her talk to Kilgren. Figured it was the least I could do. Just seemed to make things worse, though. He convinced her that he was innocent and I was out to get him.
Well, no, nobody's going to believe that, Ned.
That girl might believe it. Guess I wouldn't blame her if she did. Kilgren's a pretty smooth talker.
Yeah. Ned.
Yeah, Brent?
There couldn't be any doubt about it, could there?
Hmm?
I mean, as I understand it, Pete says that Quincy was already dead when he got there.
Well, sure he did.
And that he took the money because, well, it was just so darn tempting.
It don't stand to reason that somebody'd murder Seth and then go off without breaking into a strong box. Now, does it, Britt?
No, I guess it doesn't.
Besides, Sarah Henderson seen Pete riding away from Seth's house not 5 minutes after she heard a shot.
Mm-hmm. What, you arrest him the same day?
Well, I came into town right after I found Seth's body. Sarah had sent for me. She had a feeling something was wrong. Kilgren was at Bud Winkler's place. That's where I found him.
Mm-hmm. He still have the gun on him?
No. No, he claimed he didn't own a .45. That's what the slug in Seth's chest was, .45.
Mm-hmm. I see.
Of course, Pete had plenty of time to get rid of the gun, and there are plenty of places between Seth's ranch and town where he could have ditched it.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's true enough. Did anybody ever remember seeing Pete with a .45?
Mm-hmm. Not that I know of. Now, wait a minute, Britt. You ain't taking Pete's side in this thing, are you?
Well, I'm not taking anybody's side, Ned. I'm just curious, that's all.
This was a cold-blooded killing. You going out to Seth's place, you'll see. He was an old man, but he sure put up a darn good fight for his life. And from the looks of things, he went on fighting after he was shot.
Mm-hmm. You know, I just might take you up on that invitation, Ned. Yeah, about going out to Seth's place. See you later. It was getting on toward dusk when I reached Seth Quincy's ranch. Whoa, boy. Whoa, Scar. Whoa. I walked up the front steps and tried the door. It wasn't locked. Seth had lived alone. It didn't look like anybody had been to straighten things up since the murder. Boy, there sure had been a whale of a fight in the parlor there. A couple of broken chairs and some stains on the sofa and pieces of a lamp that had been smashed against the fireplace. Strong box didn't seem to be there. I figured they probably needed that for the evidence. Well, I poked around for about half an hour, and then I headed back to town. The moon was starting to come up as we hit a bend in the trail, and the doggonest thing happened. Now, Scar was usually as sure-footed as a mountain goat, and not a bit skittish either, but when a bat came winging out of some cottonwoods, I darn near sailed right out of the saddle. What the Sam Hill is going? Whoa! Oh, Scar! Come on now. Come on. What? And that's when I saw it. It was buried under a pile of leaves in a little gully. The first thing that caught my eye was the moonlight glinting off a piece of metal. Easy, Scar, easy. Of course, it could have been almost anything, a broken spur, or part of a farm tool, anything. But even before I pulled it out from underneath the leaves and the dirt, I knew it was a gun. It's me, Britt Ponson.
Oh, just a minute. I think you never come, Mr. Ponson. I get so worried.
Well, I'm sorry it took me so long.
Ned, It does not matter now that you're here. You talked to Marshal Burke.
Yeah, I talked to him.
And you tell him Peter did not kill this man. You tell him Peter is not guilty.
No, Anna, I couldn't tell him that.
What are you saying?
Pete is guilty. What? I found his gun. The gun he used to kill Seth Quincy.
No.
It was hidden in a gully about a mile from the farmhouse.
I do not believe you.
I gave it to Marshal Burke. Now, you can see it for yourself if you want to go over there. Pete's initials right on the handle. Only one bullet had been fired. It's the right gun. There's no doubt about it.
No, it could not be.
Now, Anna, now listen to me. The only reason I'm telling you this is, well, after Monday, there won't be anything you can do about Pete. It'll be better if you just forget him.
I will not forget him. Ever.
Oh, it won't be easy. I know that. But as long as you know he's guilty, as long as there isn't any doubt in your mind, well, maybe it's for the best that you found out before...
Why, you try to tell me lies.
Anna, this is the truth.
No, you say you will show me gun. You say it belongs to Peter. Well, what does Peter say?
Well, of course, he denies it.
Then I deny it, too.
All right, Anna. Well, I guess there's nothing more I can do about it.
You lie to me? You and Marshall? You try to make me think that John Love is a criminal. I do not understand. In old country, they talk about America. They say it's the best country in the world. But this is lie, too. Where is justice? Where is freedom? They hang a man for what he does not do.
Now, Anna,
his
listen.
Terrible, terrible country. I wish I never come here. I wish I never leave my home. I have no friend, no husband. I be alone in country that I hate.
I'm sorry. And if there's any way I can help you, if you need some money...
I want no help from American.
Well, good night, Anna. The light was still on in the marshal's office, so I stopped off and I asked Ned if I could go and have a little talk with Pete. He didn't seem to think it'd do much good, and to tell you the truth, I didn't think so either, but... Well, I couldn't see it'd do any harm to try, so... Pete was a tall, stringy man, about 25 or so, tow-headed with a yellow mustache, kind of a pointed chin.
All right, Britt, I'll leave you here. If you want out, just give me a yell.
Thanks, Ned.
Sure am popular today, ain't I, Britt?
Yeah, I guess you might call it that, Pete.
Well?
Well, I thought maybe by now you'd feel like coming out with the truth.
I told you the truth before. Never seen that gun my whole life. I ain't the only man with those initials, am I? Zed, what's the difference if I'm going to be hung anyway?
Well, the difference is Anna.
Anna?
She believes you, Pete. She believes you're innocent. And as long as you go on saying so, she's going to keep on believing it. Even after...
It's kind of nice to have somebody believe in you, Britt. Nobody else does.
Now, Pete, you weren't railroaded. You had a fair judge and a fair trial, but Anna doesn't realize that. She's young, she's upset, and she's in a strange country. She wanted to come here pretty bad. Had a lot of dreams about this country, and now that... Well, those dreams are turning sour.
Maybe it's a good thing she woke up.
Well, I just don't happen to agree with you on that. I think this is a pretty good place to live. But Anna won't find that out, not if she goes on feeling this way.
Well, what do you expect me to do? Confess to murdering Seth Quincy just so as Anna can appreciate the good old USA? If you ask me, this country ain't so hot anyway.
Mm-hmm. Well, there are a lot of folks who'd put up a pretty good argument about that. Your own father is one of them.
You're just wasting your breath.
Yeah, I guess I am. Any man who'd kill Seth Quincy in cold blood the way
it
you did...
It wasn't cold blood. I didn't even...
Go on, Pete.
All right, but I ain't telling you this because of... Well, I don't even know why I'm telling you. I needed money. for Anna so we could get married. I wanted to make a good showing, like I told her in the letters I wrote her. Everybody said Seth had plenty of cash, that he wouldn't put none of it in the bank because he'd had a fight with Mr. Putnam and he kept it all in that strong box. I thought he'd gone to town. I never figured he'd come back and catch me while I was robbing him. I tried to hold him off with my gun, but he just kept coming. I had the fire. Even then, he didn't stop. Not until... Well...
Pete.
What do you want now?
I want you to tell this to Anna.
You can tell her.
I'm afraid that wouldn't do any good.
She's real pretty, ain't she? I never figured on her being so pretty. She was surprised.
Yeah?
I've been writing her for the last 2 years. It's Pa's idea. He knew her kin back in Sweden. There wasn't any girl around here that... Well, leastways, none I was interested in.
Uh-huh. Well, Pete?
I'll tell her. But it wasn't cold blood, Britt. Not the way you think.
Yeah. Ned, I'm all done here. Well, Pete finally explained things to Anna, and I guess she saw what had happened in kind of a different light, maybe. Anyway, she stayed on in Smoke Falls, and last time I was through there, she was working over in Windy Nights Cafe. She changed some, too. The way she wore her hair, the way she dressed. But she was still just pretty as a picture, right, Georgie? And you know something? Windy had changed. He wasn't talking so much. A folk said that was Ann's doing. That she'd asked him to simmer down a bit. Well, sir, if she was able to get Windy to stop talking, even for a couple of minutes, if she had that much influence on him, well, you never know, do you?
The Six Shooter is a transcribed NBC Radio Network production in association with Review Productions. It is written by Frank Burt and is based on a character created by him. Mr. Stewart may currently be seen in the Universal International picture, The Glenn Miller Story. Others in the cast were Lillian Byuff, Bill Johnstone, Lou Merrill, and Harry Killer Bartell. Special music for this program was by Basil Adlam. And the entire production is under the direction of Jack Johnstone. All characters and incidents were fictitious, and any resemblance to actual characters or incidents is purely coincidental. Oh, yes, and by the way, you'll be interested in knowing that the Six Shooter has been chosen for broadcast to our men overseas through the facilities of the Armed Forces Radio Service. This is Hal Gibney speaking. Hearing Time brings you the Senate committee hearings tonight on the NBC Radio Network.